Today on Compassion Radio.
I'm glad that we live in a country, Richard, that does not penalize us for following the commands of Christ. You know, we have many different people that listen to the program on many spectrum spots along the way politically. We have very conservative people and very motivated liberal people that hear us and say, I want to be part of this. For that, I'm deeply grateful because this is the family of God in action. That no matter where we start with our culture or our politics, in Christ we can find common cause to do the very thing he said you must do.
Well, hello and welcome to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. Richard Sarkar is Conscience International's Southeast Asia Program Director. A native of Bangladesh, Richard's work includes feeding Rohingya refugees from Myanmar and delivering medicine to the celebrated Memorial Christian Mission Hospital in Mulungat. He's also built two schools for educating over 300 children in the village of Shambugani. I'm Frank Montenegro, inviting you to stay with us as he and Bram catch up on the latest. Here's the second half of their conversation.
I really do believe that as we are willing to step into the impossible, that we don't discover how capable God is to transform the impossible, and we never will. So we have to literally get in the mix to find out what God intends. It's like he asks for our obedience first to say, just follow me. Stop asking questions. Yeah. Stop asking for rationalizations. Just do the right thing and watch what I can do with that. And you and the rest of the folks at Conscience International have been very much in the front lines of these things for many years, and you're very much under the radar. It's one of the reasons why Norman Scher appreciated you all so much and became friends with you over the years was because you didn't have a big PR campaign. And our opportunity to speak to your needs and give voice to them to our Compassion Radio audience was at least something that could inspire and engender a strong prayer life, an activist kind of prayer life for the people that we speak to. And it's ended up helping us to join you in other projects along the way. And we're looking forward to that opportunity as soon as we can do it again. But it's important at least for right now that our people hear and understand that the Rohingya of Northeast Bangladesh and Northwest Burma are still stuck.
They're suffering when there is heavy rain, when there is winter and cold, and all of them are suffering. And we can do much. Yeah. Although there are hundreds of organizations, including United Nations, they're doing as much as they can. But it's a huge population to take care of.
And it's fair to remind our listeners that we're not talking about open spaces. Like, if you think about the desert refugee camps that are across Jordan, Iraq, and maybe even inside of Syria now, there's still firm land on which to map out a camp. It may be completely without water and a miserable place to be, but you're not going to get flooded out or drowned. The people that you're dealing with in that part of the world are in the lowlands at the bottom of nothing, and there is no infrastructure. There's not even roads. It's hard to get our minds around how little there is to work with in these places. So
And if you don't go there, you can imagine what the situation is. There is no water source. There is no drainage system. There is you can name, and they don't have anything. Yeah. And in an inhuman condition, they're living. At least we are going there, giving some food. Even if we help 10,000 people at one trip, it's nothing compared to 1 million. But that's what we can do. If we can do more, we will do it. Yeah. If God provides the resources.
Okay, Richard, we've established the desperation and the need, and given basically some shapes to. We've given some shape to the scope of the problem and.
Yes.
Obviously, we are not going to address every bit of it, nor is Conscience International. Okay. You mentioned that other organizations, including the UN, have gotten involved in some respects.
Yes.
And it's like one of those all hands on deck needs. And they're, of course, they're not the only refugee crisis in the world today, but they're one that's close to your heart because of your upbringing, your family history in Bangladesh, your knowledge, intimate knowledge of the cultures involved. And that's one of the reasons why Dr. Jennings put you on point for this. Let me ask you about the good news. What things have happened in the past couple of years that you've said God was here and he did something miraculous?
Well, when I think about the project that we started 7 years ago in my home village, we started with 80 children. You probably know about that project. We started a school and community development program. Mm-hmm. Now it has grown to be a 250 children getting education, without which they would never get the light of education or anything like that. And recently we went back, my wife and I, and we raised money through our friends and fundraising dinner and built another school building because we could not accommodate all those increased number of children. So I can see God is working there, God is there, and it is so wonderful. My wife and I were present during the inauguration of the new school building, and now we have more room for more children. And I'm going back, and because we had to leave right after the inauguration, didn't have a chance to stay there longer to make arrangements for everything.
If you think about the Rohingya themselves being another culture near yours, yes. Is there hope in your mind for establishing similar kinds of structures, even if the Rohingya stay in their stateless status? Could you duplicate or recreate what you've been doing in your village amongst the Rohingya?
Sure, we can. If we have resources, we can do those kind of thing. But we have to wait for the government to make a decision if they're staying here or they're going back. If they go back, then it's we have to think about doing something on the other side of the border, in the Myanmar area. Then we can, like I'm going back to Myanmar this time to help the flood and landslide victim. There are a lot of Christians died in that area. So we have been in touch with them and I'm going there. So either this side or that side of the border, we can help these people based on the need, and we can replicate the same things from our experience that I did in my hometown.
So it seems like one of the first kind of prayer requests we should be looking at is some resolution. If God decides to kick them out of Myanmar permanently, if he's going to allow that, at least there would be an answer, and then there would be a new set of problems to solve on the Bangladesh side of the border. If the Lord repatriates them through moving the hearts of the governments around, then we have to deal with the internal consequences of a civil war that backfired on the Myanmar government. So I guess I need to be appealing to our Compassion Radio listeners to do at least that. Be praying, as you think about it, as God leads you and reminds you to do so, to be praying that the Rohingya will find a resolution to the stateless non-answer they've been living in for the past few years.
They need to find a place to live peacefully.
Yeah.
Either on this side or other side of the border. And legitimately, everybody thinks that that's where they belong, and the Myanmar government should take them back and rehabilitate. And of course, the international community will be able to help them. But the main issue is that they have been driven out of their homeland. And we hope and pray that they can go back and live there peacefully, and get their land and property and whatever they had to leave, they get those back.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. The second half of today's conversation is coming up in just a moment.
Hi, friends. Here's a quick update on our growth goals for the rest of 2019. To start with, a big thank you to all who responded to our summer challenge. We've grown our vision team larger than ever, and that means we can focus more on the ministry opportunities that are coming our way. We still have two important goals to reach this year in order to take on some faith-stretching and desperately needed projects in 2020. We'll be sharing a lot more about those in the days to come. The first goal is to grow our vision team by another 200 people. That simply means Compassion Radio becomes part of your regular, faithful mission giving, and at a level that the Lord enables you. I know that gifts of all sizes are exactly what the Lord uses to build His kingdom around the world. If you're on a fixed income or you run a large business, your giving matters to the Lord and to His kingdom servants. Your generosity makes it possible for us to bring you some truly amazing stories and news from the front lines of faith. Think of it this way. Compassion Radio makes it possible for God's courageous people around the world to bring you a daily gift of encouragement and inspiration. We invite you inside the greatest movements of God in the history of Christianity. They're happening right now. Is that worth something to you? I certainly hope so. It's our Vision Team members that literally keep us going day to day. You can be part of that team. Secondly, we've got a year-end budget challenge of $100,000 that we simply must meet in order to make sure we can continue on the station where you hear this program every day. I'm confident in you and the Lord's provision to make that possible. Our Vision Team is leading the way on this. If you haven't given in a while, would you consider joining them to meet this special appeal? Friends, thank you so much for taking the special appeal to heart. We are truly so grateful for you.
To join the Compassion Radio Vision Team, go to CompassionRadio.com. That's CompassionRadio.com.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
Compassion Radio is here not just to teach the truth, but to provide you with opportunities to do the truth. That's why we've built and supported an orphanage in Hong Kong, provided beds for homeless children in India, counseled street kids in Hollywood, ministered to widows, carried Bibles into China and Vietnam, helped establish churches and provide Bibles in Indonesia, North Korea, and Southeast Asia, provided sight for the blind in Africa, aided refugees from Kosovo, and given tens of thousands of dollars to feed the hungry. Our goal is to teach the word clearly and accurately, always applying that word to building the kingdom. And we invite you to join our family as we learn together, witness together, and serve together. Please go to CompassionRadio.com today to find out more about this ministry. Again, that's CompassionRadio.com. celebrating 75 years in Christian broadcasting. This is Compassion Radio.
Now, we've seen many waves of those kind of dislocations of populations around the world in the past 100 years or more. And as you know, we've been trying to make our listeners aware of over the past few years, there are more stateless people or people being driven to refugee status in this generation proportionally in the world population than have ever in the history of mankind been on the move.
And
it's hard for us to grasp that because we still see ourselves as a defined statehood world where countries are countries. That's where people live. They live in countries. But we have not taken seriously the ramifications of the breakdown of law and order after the fall of the Soviet Union, how many populations were impoverished because of a changing climate in the middle of Asia, and different kinds of things that have been severely affecting populations that drive people to mass migrations that are not even related to politics, but how much other politics then come into play when governments collapse or where order crumbles into disrule. And of course, we have some effects we are aware of because of the wars we've joined or have caused, where we've put our young people on the ground to try to settle a score with somebody or reestablish order. You know, our record's kind of mixed. We all know that. But as a country, there's been an impulse to try to correct issues and make things right. And I hope that that impulse will always be there and directed well in the future. How does humanitarian aid, especially through Christians, those who are doing this work in the name of Jesus, how does this change the calculus and provide a way for peace? Sometimes people say we need to have a peace agreement first before anything can happen. Others say you can't bring people to the peace table if they're starving and desperate already. So it's one of those catch-22s. What do you say, Richard? What's the step towards peace?
Well, we can when we go there with food aid or whatever help we have, we, because of our belief, we do that, and we can explain why we are doing it. And they know that we are coming from United States, which is they know that we are Christians. We, because of our belief, we are doing it. We are showing God's love, and we are doing our job, and we pray that God will do his part, change heart, you know, and we sow the seed, and we nurture it, keep nurturing, and hopefully it will bear fruit in the future. That's what I believe.
I do too. I like the way you put that. Our job is to do our job, and our job is to pray that God does his. And I do think there's a kind of urgency when you go to the table and your hands are folded over your Bible and you're saying, God, do what you promised. Save these people. Be an avenger of those who are impoverished and oppressed. And when you start praying those things, like right out of the Psalms, and you're talking about real people that you happen to actually know about, it kind of changes the way you structure your prayers. It's not just about them and us anymore. It's about us giving our hearts on the altar, saying, God, do something, because our hearts have been moved deeply by the suffering of others. He wants us to feel that stuff so we can experience how he answers them, both in the situation and in the hearts of the people who are affected. And I would also hope along the way that we would be deeply affected by what God ends up doing, so that our attitude towards everything changes.
Exactly.
Is there anything else about the stories of the past year or so that really are highlights for you and remind you of why you do this work?
Again, I can go back. Apart from Rohingyas, I have been doing a lot of other things. And I went to Indonesia to help the tsunami victims.
Oh, amen.
Help. Yes. And then in my home village that I was saying, that it has created so much enthusiasm among the neighbors, like villagers, which is predominantly Muslims. And it was such a wonderful thing that we invited one of the leading women who is well known, and she came to the village to inaugurate the new school building. And she had a big, there were like several thousand people who came to greet them, greet her, and told them why we are doing it, because she being a Muslim, she knows why the Christians do it.
Yes.
And And then she told a story about her meeting in United Nations headquarters with several other leaders. And she was explaining that what everybody thought, that sometimes people think that the Christians are the only ones who, because of their belief, they respond to this kind of work wherever you go. So so she was appealing to all of those people for their support and assistance as we continue our work.
It's amazing how the world, when they see the compassion of Christians in action, respond to that with real genuine affection. And I don't think
that's what she was stressing on in her speech. She stressed on that, that the Christians are the ones who do because of their compassion and love, and because of their religious belief, they do it, which she was blunt that we don't do it like the Muslims. They were saying that sometimes we forget about those things, but they literally follow the God's calling to help the poor and needy around the world.
I'm glad that we live in a country, Richard, that does not penalize us for following the commands of Christ. That, you know, we have many different people that listen to the program on many spectrum spots along the way politically. We have very conservative people and very motivated liberal people that hear us and say, I want to be part of this. For that, I'm deeply grateful, because this is the family of God in action, that no matter where we start with our culture or our politics, in Christ, we can find common cause to do the very thing he said you must do. And
exactly. And
as you have found out, and you're explaining to me about this story in Indonesia, it is the highest form of kingdom ambassadorship there is. When we show up and do the work of Jesus in his name, people take note of that. And oh, that our Christians here would not be afraid of just following Jesus' commands more and more and finding the joy in there and not worry about the political fallout. That's my deepest seated hope here. And I'm so glad there are people like you, Richard, and our dear friends throughout the Conscience International that do this work every day alongside other tremendous organizations and international organizations. Thank you for doing it, especially because you do it in the name of Jesus.
Thank you so much.
I look forward to hearing from you when you get back from this next trip to the Rohingya territories inside of Myanmar this time. Would you give us a call when you get back?
Yes, I will.
All right, this is Richard Sarker with Conscience International again, visiting with us again about his work across most of South Asia, and now specifically and with some serious effort, interceding in one of the most toughest conflicts and crises there is in the world still today. That's the Rohingya in northeast Bangladesh or southeast Bangladesh and northwest Myanmar. Thanks again, Richard, for being with us.
Thank you so much, brother.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. If you missed anything today, well, you can listen again anytime. Just open up your browser on your computer or smartphone or even your tablet and go to CompassionRadio.com. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you liked what you heard, please consider supporting Compassion Radio. First, with your prayers. You know, when you pray for us, God increases the effectiveness of this ministry by empowering the Compassion Radio team for service and by opening doors of opportunity for us to be a blessing to the body of Christ. And now second, would you please share this broadcast with a friend or a loved one? This is going to help us reach as many people as possible with the important work God is doing in the lives of those who live in a missional way. And really, that's all of us, you and I. Finally, please consider supporting this ministry financially. You can give a one-time gift, a semi-regular gift, or you can become a Compassion Radio Vision Team member. And that means a regular monthly gift for the amount of your choosing. You know, this ministry is 100% listener-supported, and that means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. You can support Compassion Radio right now by calling 800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. That's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. You can also text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word COMPASSION to 53445. 4-4-5. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio at P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy day to listen, spend a little time with us. Be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.